I said, amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, before we went on break, that's for that seminar, we're doing a series of teachings. What we're talking about then was how to enter into enduring success. That's what we titled it. There's something about things that happen quickly in life, you know. Now, when Jesus was talking about the parable of the sower, if you go to Mark chapter 4, you know that parable, don't you? He said the sower went out to sow, and then he sowed different kinds of seeds. Now, some fell on good ground, some fell on stony ground, and he said something about those that fell on stony ground when he was going to interpret it. He said that, now even before the interpretation, he explained that when the word is sown, and then it springs up quickly, all right? He said quickly it sprang up, but it did not have deepness of earth. That is, it didn't have depth of earth. Therefore, when the sun came up, it scorched it, and because it didn't have depth of earth, what happened was that the thing withered and then it died off completely. Do you understand my point? That is, when you see success that starts quickly, there is a strong likelihood. That is, the danger in rapid success is also a rapid end. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Because the things that really last in life, they start very slowly. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know, many years ago, I was, when school, we're discussing, somebody read in a journal. No, I think I was a postgraduate person then. Somebody read in a newspaper about one American lawyer who wears $1,000 suits. That is, his suits are very expensive suits. And that he sent all his suits from America to Europe for dry cleaning because that is the only place he trusts anybody to dry clean his suits. Are you getting my point? Now, so one of the people analyzing it with me said something that was very, very instructive. He said that man is a very successful person. Then he was is an elderly man, maybe about 70 years old, thereabout then. But that the mistake a lot of young people make is that is the kind of thing they want to start life with. Now, the man who was dry cleaning suits in Europe from America, I don't think he was trying to show up to anybody. Yeah, that old men, they tend to be rigid. Are you getting my point? He doesn't trust American dry cleaners. Therefore, he's sending his clothes to, don't think to anywhere in Europe. I'm sure it's one particular person that dry cleans his expensive suits for him. So he will, you know, ship them down and ship them back. So the person was analyzing it with me, said that, you see, now, for that old man, he could afford it. You have to get that point. It wasn't a big deal. And then, please, don't judge that I was a waste of money. It's none of your business. He didn't ask you for money, did he? No, he didn't. All right? And then his $1,000 suits are actually worth $1,000. That's, you say, oh, so, but he's not struggling with you. You know, the problem in life is when young people now want to live like that. Now, so the man who was analyzing now explained to me that, listen, this man is a lawyer, all right? And then that he has been a lawyer for decades. And for a long time, he had been growing in what he was doing. And for him to be wearing $1,000 suits right now and dry cleaning his suits at such a cost, for him, is not a big deal. It's because the rest of us are thinking about it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That he's just living what is natural to him. So he said, look, this is somebody who has been there and he has grown up slowly. Do you understand my point? Now, the error of life is that young people, are you getting me? They now want to say, I'm believing God to be, look, listen. What you should be gunning for in life, all right, is not rapid success, but enduring success. Now, these are things we have discussed over the last few weeks. I'm just going over some of it because I see a lot of us here today were not there when we started discussing all these things, all right? Now, what we really should be gunning for in life is what? Enduring success. That parable of Jesus talking about the seed that fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. He said, immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. After the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. In verse 16, he was now explaining that issue of that one that did not have depth of earth. He said, in a similar way, these are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they had no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Are you seeing that? That they are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. Now, what I'm explaining here is this. In life, there will always be tests. There will always be challenges. Are you getting my point? Now, please get this principle. Why did they wither away? They were scorched. Now, let me ask you a question. Was it possible for these ones that yielded a lot of increase, was it possible for them to yield increase if the sun did not come up? It was impossible. That is, what made some other ones die was what was making some other ones increase. Do you understand the point here? That, but what was the difference? In the ones that died, they died because they did not have depth of earth. And then in the ones that increased, they increased. The sun is never a problem. Let me say that again. Because we can see here, the sun typifies challenges that we face in life. Let me explain this to you. Challenges always come in life to weed off those that don't have depth of earth. You know, a friend of mine called me from New York just a few hours ago. We're talking on the phone. I was just seeing him about EFCC. Listen, let me tell you something. Some people think that when Obasanjo has gone, EFCC will die. Let me give you a word of prophecy. Is that okay? Something worse than it will come. Did you hear what I said? Something worse than EFCC will come. And any man who didn't steal money, you know, will never be afraid of EFCC. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, challenges come in life to test the source of your money. That's all. I remember when I was in Lagos those days, and cocaine pusher, she is nice for one night, right? Those days was cocaine pushers that were the reigning in court thing. And then one day, I think it was a Bangida or the man after him that appointed Musa Bami as NDLEA Oga, you know. And then that one also was very crazy. People can be shouting, which kind of law is this one? This is lawlessness. You know, he used to do funny things. Like go to Sheraton at night and tow away all the very, very expensive cars. He just tow them away. And the man said, no problem. Just come and see me and explain where you got the money to buy the car. There was no quarrel. In all those expensive car shops in Lagos, you know, all kind, the man will just go there, change your gates. There's no trouble. Just explain where you are getting all the money to buy all these cars. Some will say, this is not right. You see, those who were not stealing, those who were not drug pushers, those who were not doing money laundering had nothing to fear. They would just walk up to NDLEA man and say, oh God, please, your boys are harassing me. What is the problem? They came and told my vehicle. And he said, yes. And I mean, look, this is my name. This is what I do. And they will apologize, and that is the end. But those 25-year-old boys who were driving Lexuses those days, half of them vanished. Nobody gave them the strength to go and reclaim their cars. All flesh is grass, and the goodness thereof are like the flowers of the field. God blows in different methods. The Bible says that the Spirit of God one day will blow upon it, and then the grass will wither and the flower will fade. Let me explain something to you. That's a very glaring one. God blows in different ways, though. People can say what they like. EFCC is another blowing of God. You can say what you like. You know, you say that it is a PDP policeman against the enemies. Don't worry. You know the way God does it? He will just finish some people first. When he's through with them, he will not face the others. Are you getting my point? Nobody, you know, they have a saying in Yoruba land. They will say that the king will use for the senior wife. He's still hiding up there, waiting for the junior one. That is, the junior one shouldn't laugh and say, see, they are disciplining the senior wife. He said, that cane has not been destroyed. It's a principle. So nobody should tell you that this is not just. Some people are being spared. It's for a time. Do you get my point? Their own rod is being manufactured. You know, God said something about the Babylon. He said, they are instruments in my hand. They are like cane. I use it against. Then when I finish using them against other people, I will not turn and say, hey, you this wicked cane that I have been using. Now, let me tell you your offenses. Then I'll now use fire to light that one. You are getting the law. You are getting the principle. Listen, that's the way life is. Don't let anybody deceive you and say, look, God is in everything. The Bible says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. Do you get my point? Why am I saying all of these things? That is, the word that endures is what everyone should go after. Are you getting my point? Because whatever be the crisis in life, that one will survive it. You know, let me tell you another thing about following God. God really wants to know those who are really following him. You know, the Bible says that some people think that godliness is gain. You know, today as I was driving, well, my car was in the mechanic. So one man gave me a lift to go and buy fuel so I could put in the car. A colleague of mine. So we were talking, and I told him about one business he was doing and everything. He said that this business is actually doing well for him, and he's done it in his spare time. When I was now sharing some spiritual principles with him, that this is the way life is. I told him that we call him locum. If you're, for those of you who know medicine, we call it locum. That is spare job you do on the side to make some extra income. And I said, you see, people don't understand that your locum, all right, in life, your locum shouldn't be necessarily something that gives you extra money, but must be something that you love to do and is blessing the people around you. Are you getting my point? So he and I were now sharing. I said, and I jokingly said, my own locum, all right, is ministry. That I do ministry. So just now continue. I said, but what God looks for in whatever you are doing is faithfulness. It's not how much money this thing is making for me. I said, if you are faithful in whatever you are doing, God will bless you one day. One day God will look at it and pour blessing upon it. I said, this is what has run a lot of young ministers, all right, or young people the wrong way. They will see maybe somebody like maybe the GO of Redeem, you know, and then maybe he'll give a testimony that one day he was sitting in his house and one man came and said that God said he should give him a brand new car. And he saw the car, one very big, fine car. Like, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Then you go another place one day and you hear another testimony that one man was just said, maybe Creflodella is preaching and says that one day some brethren just came and bought him a jet. Oh, hallelujah. And then another man will tell you how one day God sent one man and then he dashed him a house, very expensive house, and said, God said, I should give it to you. Oh, praise the Lord. And the man said, man, ministry is good, oh. He doesn't understand that for every house dashed to a minister, there are at least 2,000 that are still praying to God for rent. Do you get my point? Let me explain what I'm saying. Now, I'm not saying ministry is a difficult thing. It's a very lovely, and God pays well if he has to pay. Are you getting what I'm saying? One day, I told people that they said, Okocha is making a lot of money. That's Okocha, Gigi Okocha. I said, listen to me. For every Okocha you see, there are 100,000 hungry footballers. They said, buy football for your child. I said, listen, I am not doing anything because somebody is making money from me right now. When Okocha was small, football was not making money. Do you get my point? That education is important. My son will be educated, and he will not start playing football because Okocha is making money. That one day, Okocha will stop making money also. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make here? That don't let anybody fool you. You know, you start singing because you believe that you can make 50 million naira with on one album. Listen, for every, what's the name of the reigning boy in Lagos now? Two-Face. Uh-huh. Oh boy, for every Two-Face, eh? There are 100,000 Three-Faces. You get what I'm saying? I'm explaining something. I'm not trying to scare anybody. There's nothing in life that guarantees success. You get my point? Don't let anybody go and fool. And let me get back to the main thing I'm saying. That is faithfulness in whatever you are doing that blesses, that God blesses. So he and I were now discussing. I said, that's why a lot of young men have now, they go to ministry believing that once I just start, you know, money will just start coming in. Then when they get there, the reality in life will stare them in the face. That's why you see a lot of ministers are using pressure, you get my point, to draw money out of people. It is not because that they are wicked people in themselves. They were wrongly taught. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, they thought that maybe, okay, after you've done a big program, at the end of the day, you should be counting a lot of money. They don't realize that someone like Raymond Bonnke, for all those crusades, one naira doesn't get back into the ministry pocket. You know that? Raymond Bonnke. Do you know how much it costs to organize one crusade? When Ben-Hee wanted to come to Lagos, I've forgotten how many millions of US dollars he sent ahead. You think it's cheap to organize crusade? Each Raymond Bonnke crusade you see, it costs a lot of money. Yeah, the man doesn't go around begging anybody for money. Because he has a divine arrangement that he has understood that empowers his crusades. Do you get what I'm trying to say in all things I'm saying? So everybody needs to learn that faithfulness. So the young man and I were now discussing. I said, listen, what you need in life is to be faithful in what you are doing now. Then eventually God will now pour success upon it. If it is financial returns that God wants to give you, it doesn't even have to come from that thing you think you are doing. One of the things I have come to understand in life is that most famous people are not rich from what they are famous for. I said, if you see a man very famous and is very rich, most of them are not rich. I'm not saying all. Most are not rich from the things that they are famous for. Let me give you one very simple example. There's one man very famous for, his name is Ray Kroc. He's a, you know, what's the name of this? McDonald's. The man who started McDonald's. Everybody knows the man for McDonald's. But you know what? He said what really makes money from is real estate business. Buying land, you know, selling land, leasing land, and all that. Now, my favorite example, Mary Kay Ash, because I read her story and really impressed me. The woman is known for Mary Kay Cosmetics. When I read her story, the woman had a lot of money. Get my point? She was exceedingly rich. But what I found out later was that we know her for Mary Kay Cosmetics, not because she had a lot of money, but because she empowered in her lifetime hundreds of thousands of women. Are you getting my point? But what really gave her money personally, if you see their structure, I said that, look, this woman is not making too much money from this company. What really gave her money personally, are you getting me, were under investments she made, which God just blessed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me tell you that in life, you have to define, like we said during the seminar, you have to define your success correctly. Are you getting me? Let me give myself as a personal example. I know of very wealthy preachers, very, very rich ones. But God knows one thing in my life. He taught me that before I started ministry. I am not preaching hoping that one day me too I will be rich from preaching. No, God, who is my witness, knows I'm not joking about that. Now, I'm not a proud person who says that, look, I'm not the minister because of money. I don't need your money. No, that is also another pit. You get my point? Try and stay in the middle of the road in everything. Are you getting what I'm saying? There is a balance to everything in life, all right? But Paul said that some people think that godliness is a means of gain. That is, they have come to church, they have come to ministry, they are participating in the things of God because somebody told them that is the key to breakthrough. And what they call breakthrough is that, yes, if I serve God enough, one day, me too, I will have a big house. I will have a big car. I will have plenty of money. And then you know what God loves of such people? You will serve. Pian can like this, no give you. Then frustration will jam you for face. Are you getting what I'm saying? Then God answers that. Do you know what they call servants? Servants don't make any claim. They beg every time they need something. Say, you are my servant. Are you getting my point? I'm not giving you a dime. Do you get the point? You say, yes, sir. Some will say, no, sir. I'm going to go and meet Satan who can give plenty of money. Those who say yes, sir, are you getting my point? And you cannot fool God with this. He sees the heart of men. They are the ones that one day go and say, okay, it looks like I should beautify you with cash. He gives them plenty. At that time, listen to me, let me say to you clearly, it wouldn't matter to them whether God gave them or he did not. God first gets your heart to that level where what you are really looking for doesn't matter much to you anymore. Then he gives it to you because he hates other gods. You know, we discussed during the seminar. He hates other gods that you are holding to something that is different from God himself. You are getting the point I'm making. Now, so when we're talking about enduring success, that's what people should go for. So that whatever you are doing in life, God will increase. So for me, success, when we are defining success, is when what God has placed in your hand is succeeding. Do you get my point? It is not how much people claim you are succeeding, but when what God has placed in your hand is succeeding. Let me give you an example. I shared this on Monday as a testimony. When we were praying for this seminar that we just held, one day some things happened. I got a few phone calls here and there, response from people, and I became afraid. Like one of my friends said, that God, may God give you good problems. You know, because I called him, I said, man, I had a problem with seats the first day. He said, that's a very good problem. That's a very good problem. All right? It's a good problem to have. So when I assessed the size of space that we had and everything, and I said that, all right, dear Lord, I don't think we can house more than 150 people. By the time we calculated, it was just about 150 that attended the seminars. Are you getting my point? But I prayed one prayer, which is, I want to use that to explain what I mean by success. I said, therefore, God, please limit the number of people coming to 150. And I now prayed one prayer. I said, dear Lord, you know what I want? Let the 150 people that will come will be 150 pivotal people. What I mean by pivotal people? That a man will come maybe from Abakwa. Now, instead of 50 of them coming, let them be just two or three. But those two or three will take some materials away, be CDs, books, MP3 CDs, tapes, and go back home and go and share with everybody around them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That if somebody will travel from somewhere, may it be the kind of person who will come, collect some materials, and go home and share with people. I gather people, say, come, let me tell you what I brought back from Enugu, and, you know, release the word to them. I said, God, that is what I am asking for. So when I saw the number, you know, it was about that 150 that we prayed for, I said, God, I'm sure that is happening. The ones I cannot assess, I'm sure it's happening. God has given me one that I could see with my eyes to understand the ones that I cannot see with my eyes. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So for me, what is success? If you said this seminar succeeded, no. One of my friends, for those of you who can understand this joke, I said it was a good seminar. He said it's a joke, it's a clown. He said, so how much was the offering? Now, he was joking. He's not a preacher. It's just that he has gotten used to the way preachers behave. So I had a good laugh, you know, that, and you know, some people, that's how they judge success, you know, like, so at the end of the come, how much? He said it was successful now. Do you understand my point? Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, I was sharing with this guy today. I said, I never do a program that is not fully paid up before we start. I don't ever do it. I will never do it. God knows I will never do it. He will not even try to tell me to do it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Nobody begged you to come and do seminar. Did anybody beg you? Say, please, will everybody gather together? Let's beg Pastor Banky to come and do seminar. No, they sat in their houses and you said, come. And they have showed up now. You're now blaming them that you don't have enough money to complete the seminar. Please, are you getting my principle here? And look, forget, I'm saying all of this because I'm a minister, all right? It applies in every sphere of life. It applies in every sphere of life. Now, when you introduce that into your life, that kind of principle, now, when you introduce that thing into your life, into your lifestyle, it becomes easy for God to give success to you that endures. When I say endures, it is not the length of time that is endurance, that is success enduring. It is what the success survives. Do you get my point? They will deregulate the naira, it will succeed. So it will survive it. They will hyper-regulate the naira, it will survive it. Charles Soludo will come one day and say, I don't want banks capitalized for less than maybe 100 billion naira. It will survive it. For every challenge that is brought up in life, that thing increases. I'm talking about now as if in the area of business. That is what you call enduring success. Sometimes I look, people say that our companies have collapsed because government did not regulate this. See, I'm not saying government shouldn't do its job. Do you understand my point? But any company that collapses because of things like that, I say all flesh is grass. God just blew upon it and it's gone. That thing they say is not a joke, that when one door is closed, many more will be open. That is the spiritual truth. If God is the one blessing you, for every closed door, look around, God has opened 1,000 other ones. Are you following my point? In fact, this is on record, that men who are really blessed in life, every economic hardship only makes them richer. And that's why I say that the poor is always getting poorer. The reason is because, see, in fact, this is somebody gave this to me as a fact. When they are in statistics in the world, when they want to judge whether the economy is doing well or something happened or did not happen, they don't use very poor people to check. And they don't use very rich. You know why? They said the poor people, no matter what you do, these poverty, they come up for their body. You know, go. And then the very wealthy, they found out that no matter how much you try to fight them, they get richer still. It's a spiritual principle. So you know what they use as assessment? The middle class. They are the ones that blow with the wind. Prosperity, they will prosper small. Poverty, they will become poor too. You know, they are cold-blooded animals. They match with whatever is going around. But a real spiritual man that is blessed is warm-blooded. You get my point? If it is, you know, human beings, whether they are Eskimos or they live in the desert, the body temperature is the same. Yes, your body temperature is the same whether you live in cold areas or in hot areas. That is what makes you a person. You are able to regulate your own body temperature. Do you understand my point? That is the ability, notice what I'm saying here, the ability to survive trying times is what decides whether you really have the power to endure or not. That's why I tell you, look, everything that happens in life is a test. Do you get my point? What God is doing is testing your ability. God is testing something inside you. Do you have that strength? When people sit and say that, you know, this country is very, 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 very bad. You don't know. I don't know what's going on around here. A young man cannot even find a job. I say, look at you, idiot. This is, look, listen. If a young man does not find a job, he should create one for himself. And if he does that for himself, God will help him create for other people. You don't understand what I'm saying? All the so-called wealthy people that you see, they started by, most of them, the guys who really broke out in life, they really started by creating a job first for themselves. Then while they were trying to do the one for themselves, they found out that they could not do it alone. So they called other people. Then after a few years, they found out that they are employing 10,000. Do you understand the point I'm making? There's no job in this place. That's opportunity. That is opportunity. God tests you on the ability to handle money. He's not checking whether you have a big job or a small one. Whatever it is he has given you, he's testing how you are handling it. You know, it's because we are so temporal minded. We don't realize that we should think the matter of a long span time. You get my point? That's why we think that the man who's earning half a million a month now, he's doing far better than the guy who's earning only 12,000 naira in a month. But you don't understand that both of them, God is watching how they are handling it, and based upon how they handle what he gives them today, he will decide where they will get to tomorrow. I always say this, and I'll say it again. What a man is earning now, has no bearing. There is no way you can use it to calculate what he will earn in 20 years' time. You can't. The man who is earning heavily today can become very poor tomorrow. And the one who is barely earning today can become the one giving heavy paying jobs out tomorrow. And this is a sound principle of life. It's a matter of divine truth. God decides that not by the weight of the money they have now, but how well they handle what they have now. Do you understand my point? Listen, let me tell this to you. What God is doing, all right, is using the events of life to bring your heart to the right place. Because if your heart is in the right place, then it attracts things to you naturally. So when you find hardship, listen, don't grumble against the hardship. Check, how do I respond to hardship? Are you getting my point? Listen, you know, something happened. I told you my car spoiled. So for the almost 2 weeks now, yes, my movement has been tied to how my wife moves. You understand my point? If she's not going out that day, then I have a car to use for the day, you know? It's been like that. So the mechanic now came today to come and check what was wrong with my car. I told him, I said, for 2 weeks, this car has been down. You know one of the reasons why I've not done anything about it? I said, I have sworn to the Almighty God that a car will never drive me. I will always drive a car. There are no car in this life will drive me. I said, if this car not work, I said, listen, I will go and learn the bus routes in town. He said, how can? I said, watch me. Just watch it. Let this car not start. No, I left the car with him this afternoon. Say, when it's ready, you phone me. But I just made up my mind that, dear Lord, as from Monday, I'm not even hassling my wife again. And no, I'm telling you, I will dress up in the morning. I just wear nicer, you know, shoes that can rock a little bit. Now, it is not likely that this will happen. Eh? But I'm trying to tell you that if it comes to that, it will happen. That is like, I will not say, I'm not too big. No, I cannot go out again. You know, while Luke said he entered ministry, one of the things that pushed him into ministry full-time was that one day they organized a program somewhere. And three or four of them, young boys from campus, they would go around villages. So they will build this stage. All right? And then while they are doing that, one man is praying, or they are building together, they are cutting grass. And then they will go around the town, the little village, announcing that Jesus is coming to heal all their problems. Then at night, they will be praying. They will not sleep. So after they did all of this, the nurse told them, said, how will we now preach during this program now? So they let us go to town and go and call one man who will come and preach. And the man arrived, well-dressed, you know. So it didn't cross their mind that it's a preacher or that the preacher should be well taken care of. It didn't cross their mind at all. So the man came and said, where am I going to sleep? They said, sir, we have been sleeping in this primary school. So you look at one corner, but there is your... So the man said, where will I hang my suit? So, like, suit, okay? You came with suit. The man said, where will I hang my suit? And the man carried his bag and walked back and walked away. He said he ran into the bush and started crying. Are you getting my point? They had been laboring for days. And the man is asking them, where will I hang my suit? He said he swore to God that once he graduates from school, he's coming back to do this work full time. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That sometimes God brings you that level. Do you get my point? So every time something happens in life, you ask yourself, how am I supposed to respond to this? It's how you respond to every situation in life that decides what will come out in your life later. I said about the temptation of Job. You know, the temptation of Job was not really about how he will miss his children after we have killed them. What will he now eat? What will he now eat? What will he not eat? What was it about? What he will say in response to his trials. The first statement is, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Satan said, how will we do this guy now? He damaged some more. Said, shall we receive good of the hand of the Lord and not receive evil also? He said, after he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. And at the end of the day, how he responded decided where God placed him in life. Are you getting my point? So Babangida wanted to introduce SAP. And SAP sapped, oh, civil servants heard SAP. Oh God, they heard it way. You know, I said they hear and way. The team punished civil servants very well. What I realized what happened then was God taught people productivity. Everybody that threw away the bondage of security in a good paying job made it. Do you get my point? Listen, I had cousins who went back to their father's cocoa farms. Are you getting my point? And were making more money than my father and my mother combined. Do you get what I'm saying? You are getting the point I'm making. Because they just said, man, see business. They will go buy raw, that's farm produce, take it, bag them, weigh them, go and sell. I hope you are getting my principle. It's how you respond. People say, no, this country is bad. Everyone, this one. No, the idea is that there is a situation now. The example you should bear in mind is that of Jacob in the Bible. When Laban was maltreating him, each time he will pray, God will give him an idea. And I'm going to talk about some of that if I have enough time today. God will give him an idea, and he will use that idea to respond to the trials that Laban was imposing upon him. At the end of the day, Laban found that this man was getting richer, and no matter how hard he tried, he got richer. Enduring success is something you build inside your heart and then manifests outwardly. Do you get my point? Young Icho told a story once of one man who he had become quite prosperous in his church, but he was dealing in salt, you know, stuff like that. And then one day, heavy rain fell, one after the other, and then the river went over the banks and then went into his warehouse and licked away all the salt, you know, damaged all the goods, everything he had the warehouse there. Young Icho said that what was worrying him was, how will he confront this man? So finally, he gathered himself together, prayed, and went there to go and meet the man. And the man, he saw the man smiling and rejoicing. And when I thought you had the small problem, he said, okay, small thing. He said, remember, Pastor, before we got here, we were nowhere. He said, we can get somewhere bigger. Just watch it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is how he responded. And listen, anybody who responds like that will always come out with double. Do you understand what I'm saying? And the way you if you respond positively in a godly manner, you resonate with God's idea with your response. Listen to me, you will always come out with double what you lost, minimum. You are following my point. That's what we mean when we say enduring success. It's not the one that lasts for 50 years. That's not what I said. That in those 50 years, how many challenges did he face? There are those who have been, you know, they have been in wealth in Nigeria for a long time. They have never faced EFCC. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Their wealth has never faced the testing of EFCC. Do you get what I mean? Now, if EFCC now, you know, sniffs around their wealth, the thing comes crumbling down. That is not enduring. You are getting my point? Now, those are the things that we're speaking about before the seminar. And then let me just add a few points to it, and then we'll use that one to close. Now, there's another issue what we call your faith and your seed. I will not, because that one is quite extensive, I will not talk about it. Now, maybe I may hint something along the line as we go on. Then we'll talk about the power of the widow's mite. It's still the same thing about your faith and your seed. Let me just summarize what that means. What it means is that, see, what you are not ready to give financially towards, you really don't believe in it. Now, let me summarize it here. If you say that, this business will work, this thing will do work, we can bless people with this, and the opportunity comes, are you getting my point? You are not ready to abandon a well-paying job for it. You are not ready to take what you have in your pocket to invest into it. The reality is that you don't really like it. You don't really believe in it. Are you getting my point? No, we've seen things like this before. People say, this is what I really love to do. This is what I really love to do. This is what I really love to do. But what's the problem? They have a job that pays them well but occupies them from 5 a.m. to 12 midnight. Therefore, the 5 balance hours is only for sleeping. All right? Then somebody offers you another job that pays far less but gives you, occupies for only 8 hours a day, but it gives you enough time to invest into that thing you really believe in. You know the power of the widow's mite? If you are not ready to let go of what you have for the vision that you claim will work, if you worked on it, then you really don't believe it. And listen, if you did that, what you have actually done is to sow a seed of your life into that thing. Do you get my point? And that is what sustains it. Let me just say, there was one word we discussed then. Let me drop it before I leave the matter. That is why you must never allow a thief to invest in your business. He brings the crooked spirit into it, and that business will eventually collapse. Let me tell you something, child of God, so that you will understand this very well. If you know, if your friend is a rogue, you know my rogue, is a drug dealer, is a you know what we call a thief, a 419 man, and then you now have an idea, you now say, this guy bring money and invest in it. Let me tell you what will happen. If he prospers initially, listen to this, eventually two of you will quarrel and you will leave that, we will leave the business without a pin. Let me explain again. If that business prospers initially, the longer it prospers, the more terrible for you. If it collapses at the beginning, it's God's abundant mercies. But if it prospers initially, what will happen is that when God wants to deliver you, he will make sure you live with nothing. Don't be angry. Let me warn you ahead of time, in case you're already in such a situation. Don't be angry. When you are leaving, say, Father, I thank you. In fact, if they gave you anything, as soon as you come out, Jesus says, sell it and give to the poor. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because what he has done is to sow a seed. Money is very powerful. Please, I can't go over that, but please, I would like you to listen to that message, especially. We'll tell you the power of the widow's mite. If you don't have any of that one in the series, pick that one up. Money is very powerful. Money is very powerful. Money is very powerful. Now, I know what I'm saying. You know, we have not realized the power of money. We think it's just a matter of you can buy something with it. It carries a spirit from the heart of the person who is spending it. That's why you see a lot of people who say that, you know, they say they want to go legit. I used to hear church deals. The guy has been a drug dealer. They now want to go legit. You can never go legit successfully with money that is drug generated. You can't. You cannot steal enough to go legit eventually and the thing will not be taken from your hands. It doesn't work. It does not work. If it appears to work, we don't have time to explain all of these things. If it appears to work, what is happening is that the environment right there is not yet rejecting unrighteousness. That means that land is full of crooks. That is, your problem will begin the day some men start praying. Your problem will begin when the truth starts getting told. When young men and young women start believing the truth. You know why? You know, God owes humanity, owes the earth a responsibility to prove to people that righteousness pays and wickedness does not. You don't get the point I'm making. No, God has to publicly display. Look, I told people then, I said, you know why Fela died from AIDS? You know why Fela died? He died from AIDS. HIV. Killed Fela. You know, Fela did enough for the soldiers to have killed him there those days. They didn't kill him. They actually beat him enough so that he would die, but he did not die. Are you getting my point? Fela smoked enough to kill his lungs with cigarette smoke. God said, no, the cigarette smoke ain't going to get you. Fela was a minister of God in one area. God said, you have announced promiscuity. It must kill you. And this must be known to the whole earth. Unlike what is typical in Nigeria, when Fela died from AIDS, his brother, the late Professor Ransom Kuti, gathered a press conference and announced to the earth that my brother has died, and he died from complications related to the acquired immune deficiency syndrome caused by the human immunodeficiency virus infection. And then it was in Time magazine. It was announced right around the world that promiscuity is bad. That's what God is saying. It's a reference. Listen, God preserves the ungodly. Paul said it like this. He said, how do you know that God was not enduring with patience the vessels of wrath? But this God said, I should have killed this man for everything he has done. He said, no. I must allow him to get to a place where everybody will know him. Then after that, I judge him in a manner that everybody will learn a lesson. Do you get my point? Why do you think God killed Bob Marley with cancer of the lung? I heard all kinds of stories about cancer, about the death of Bob Marley. Bob Marley died because he was the number one renowned man on earth for the smoking of wee-wee. Are you getting what I'm going to say? God said, no wahala, smoke can well, well. But I must let the generations of the earth have a reference point that wee-wee is not good. So, Bob Marley was smoking and feeling cool. Ganja made the thing look like a matter of the worship of the true God. And the man was so famous, God said, ride on your fame. Then one day he was performing in the U.S. and he collapsed. And they took him down to hospital. He had advanced cancer of the lungs. God said, I want the whole earth to know that cancer, that smoking of wee-wee is not good. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting the point I'm making? So when some things tend to prosper, wait, don't think that God has gone to sleep. The Bible says clearly that God does not always quickly punish iniquity. Let me tell you something. I said something during the seminar that there are generations on the earth. God deals with people in two manners. One as individuals, and number two as generations. Let me say this again. Judge the success of your life by how much you are doing those two things. One, your individual assignment in life and the assignment for your generation. I was sharing with my wife yesterday. Some things came up and I just called her, baby, come and sit down. Let me share some words, the powerful words of God with you. And because I had come to realize that the reason why God placed every child of God on the earth is that he must look for the opportunity to better the life of other people. And I mean that literally. I'm not going to qualify it further. I said, therefore, maybe from now, this life, I'm going to wake up and say, okay, how can I bless people? I'm preaching the word, I know. But there are more things to do. I will preach harder. I have to keep pumping the thing out. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, I'm explaining something here. So in your generation, now listen to this. God has an assignment for each generation that's very, very unique, very, very peculiar. I'm persuaded that, in fact, there was one radio message we had that was the year before, which I titled Righteousness in Your Generation. In each generation, this is in every generation. In every generation, God wants his own people to carry the level of righteousness to another level. The assignment for the Nigerian youth today, this is my perception, it's not a prophetic word, just the way I understood it. Now, just from observing the things around, is to show to the earth that a man can prosper without being corrupt. That is, you can do your business and not cheat. I found out that the Bible says that God hates, no, you have to understand this. When the Bible says that God hates something, you know, it's very strong. There are many things that God doesn't like, but there are some that he particularly says, hey, that's my personal enemy. You know one of them? He said, differing weights, unjust weights. You know what it means? When you are buying from one man, you weigh with something that is too small, so you pay less. When you want to sell to another person, you weigh with something that's too big, so that he pays more. It's called differing weights. The weight we used to buy is different from the way you used to sell. Listen, let me give a prophetic word. Now, I don't mean that God says say this, but the kind of word that God needs to effect judgment. Every man that imports fake products into Nigeria and labels as original, he will end his days in poverty. You know the challenge for the Nigerian generation is to walk into that same market. And people will say, no, you won't survive here. He said, watch me survive. No, you won't survive. You don't do it. He said, just watch me. And the first year, it will appear as if you are not surviving. The second year, it might appear as if you are not surviving. For a length of time, it will appear as if you are not surviving. Then when, so many things to share. There is what the Bible calls the fullness of time. Now listen, there is what the Bible calls the fullness of the iniquity of the Amalekites. There is what the Bible calls the fullness of the prayer of the saints. Listen to me, just like iniquity can be full, righteousness also can be full. That is, when you have suffered enough because of righteousness, God will now arise. Say, arise, O God, and let thy enemies be scattered. You have to understand the meaning of that word. God doesn't have any personal enemy that can go and fight him in heaven. So when he arises, who's scattering up there? What he's talking about are people who are down here. That is, a man is in business. Listen to what I'm saying. And he is doing righteously. He will import good drugs. The people who are doing the bad ones, we come and make sure he can't sell. God said, you know why I allowed that to happen to you? I am testing the righteousness of your heart so that I can do you good at the end. Then one day, a kind of prayer will rise up. And the man will say, God, how long will you withhold your hands? He said, arise, O God, and let your enemies be scattered. Then suddenly God will arise like a drunken soldier. Listen to me. And he starts shooting anyhow. The men are dropping down dead. One doctor will wake up somewhere and burn up some drugs. Are you getting my point? Then people become fugitives. Then suddenly, the man who stood through all those trying times because of righteousness, when his enemies seem to be prospering, suddenly there is this rapidity of prosperity that will come upon him that generations after him might know that righteousness is good. Please, are you understanding the point I'm making here? What God is doing, listen, is to test the heart of a man and see whether he's willing to wait for the time of God. Satan is the one that will tell somebody, do this now, I give you now. No, no, no. As I'm talking now, just bow. Hey, waiting. This is your, why do you have to suffer? Jesus said, don't worry. There is a way of getting it, which is the righteousness of God. We go through the cross. Then after that, what we gain, the Bible said, the kingdom of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign for how long? You are getting what I'm saying. That is what brings forth enduring prosperity into the lives of people. Listen, God allows challenges. Listen, there's nobody, listen, anywhere you go in the world, Nigerians make me laugh. Nigeria is not a country you run away from because of trials. No. It's a country that is in a kind of situation, if you understand spiritual things, that is a kind of place people run to invest their lives. Listen, there's no easy success anywhere. God tries you first as gold is tried in the furnace of what? Affliction. Do you get my point? That's how God tries people. Then at the end of the day, when they have been tested, like Miles Monroe will say, God will stand upon them. You know, tested. You know what that means? I listened to that Miles Monroe message long ago. He said, what God is doing actually, he said, before, when a Roman soldier, you know, goes into battle, he has just one major weapon in his hand, his sword. That sword must be able to withstand everything. It mustn't break. If it breaks while he's fighting, he's gone. So before they send the soldier out to battle, first thing is that they do what they call tempting the sword. That word tempt in the New Testament is used for the Roman soldier's sword. That is, they test it, put into into their hot furnace, then put into cold water. Put into hot furnace, beat the weak areas, beat the sword. When they are finished, they put a stamp on it which says tempted. You know, you see this, you buy equipment, they say tested, okay. Do you understand my point? God tests people like that before he gives them anything. Otherwise, they will die in battle. We've shared before that the Bible talks about the weight of glory. Blessing is a weight. You have to be able to carry it. Do you hear what I said? Blessing is what? A weight. You have to be able to carry it. Oh, why did I even get there? So the last day that we spoke along this line, we talked about building inner capacity. Now, what I want to end the whole series with today, just briefly for the time I have left, is what I called patient endurance. Well, let's read a few scriptures. Before we read it, let me explain some principles. There is nothing good that has blessed mankind on this earth that did not come from the heart of God. Do you understand my point? It is God that gives revelation on the things that will bless humanity. Satan has never created. He does not have the ability. It's not as if God is angry with him. God did not make him a creator. Do you understand my point? Listen, if you go and read Elihu said that no one says, where is God my maker? Who makes us wiser than the beasts of the field? Listen, if you do not have wisdom given by God, you will live like an animal. Living by your instincts. Animals don't create anything. You know that. They can't. The ability to create is something that is a godly nature that God gives to mankind as an inspiration. Listen, God does not always say, my son, thou shalt manufacture a car. No. What he does is that he gives a young man an idea. He gives a scientist an idea, and the man starts walking towards and God starts giving him illumination. I read an article some time ago. There's this prize called Templeton Prize. The man Templeton is a man who believed that there is a position where spiritual things and scientific things merge. So he gives a prize, like a Nobel Prize, annually to somebody who has done something to demonstrate that. Do you understand my point? Now, one man who got that Templeton Prize, I don't know why I keep on forgetting his name when I want to quote him. The man is the one who invented, with a co-worker, the laser beam that we use today. You know the laser beam? You know the laser, all right? Now, that laser is used everywhere. Now, used in medicine. In fact, used in science. It's used, this computer has a laser reader inside. Your CD burner uses laser everywhere, everything. They use laser for surgery, laser for welding. They use laser for virtually everything now. Now, the man won the prize. Why? Because he said that one day he was sitting in the park and he had what the Englishman would call an epiphany. That his inspiration just came. And he just knew that something like that was possible. And he went straight to the lab and began to work. A few years later, the laser concept was out. And then he said that for him, there's no difference between how he got that idea and how a prophet gets, thus says the Lord. Do you get the point? That was why they gave him that prize. That the man has brought another proof that what Mr. Templeton believed in is working. And it's true. All of us know Isaac Newton, right? We heard of Isaac Newton. You know the interesting part? In his days, the major job Isaac Newton did was teach the Bible. You know, it's very funny. Isaac Newton was a theologian. And secondarily, a physicist. Most of his publications were theological publications, not physics. He sits under a tree and he saw an apple fall. Listen, apples were falling all over the world. You know that? Apples were falling here and there. What happened? Nothing happened. Are you getting my point? Yet, one day it fell in front of one man and the spirit in him, he said, there is a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. That spirit in him kindled something and the man suddenly had his idea and that was the beginning of it. What is his name? Albert Einstein. He was a Jew. He believes very, very strongly in God. That's why he says, God does not play dice with the universe. People have misunderstood that expression. They think the man was saying that these Christians, they don't know what they are saying. No. The man was saying that this universe is well structured. It was well ordered by God. Therefore, if something appears out of place, we need to research and find out exactly what is happening. That's what he meant. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You know, he believes so much in the fact that God created things. In fact, there was one quotation one of my doctors gave me about him from his mouth. He said, Albert Einstein used to say, I don't want to be right. I only want to know whether I am right. You are getting the point? They said, no, I want to know whether what I have discovered about the works of God, whether they are correct. I'm using my own words now. There's a reason why I'm saying all of these things. First heard this from people like E.W. Kenyon those days, that the ability to invent is a God-given ability and it manifests when there is eternal life present. Are you getting the point I'm making? There's a reason why I'm saying all of this. Now, when God wants to bless mankind, introduce something into the earth, it doesn't have to be an invention, it can be an idea. How we should run business, how we should do accounting. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is an idea. Now, the way he does it is that he must give it flesh, and that flesh is always somebody. Are you following me? Now, this is why I'm talking about patient endurance. When the person wants to introduce it, those who were there before will always say, no, it does not work. And listen, God doesn't expect to be fighting those who were there before. Paul said, I did not come to you with what? Excellency of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the spirit and of power. That is what convinces people is that you eventually show to them that it works. Now, there's something that we bring out here, talking about enduring success. Now, God always gives ideas. Listen to this. And when God wants to birth a new idea into life, this is what happens. He gives it to somebody. Now, a man who really does not believe in it will not stand the test of time. And listen, the ideas that have died, not because the ideas were not good, but because people were not firmly planted. Are you getting my point? They were not patient enough to let the thing work, so they left it, and that's it. Somebody has probably bought it, or somebody else, or the whole thing died. Then God will have to wait for another generation to birth the thing. Please, I'm bringing out some of the other things I'm saying. In every difficult situation, there's a new idea God wants to bring out for you to handle it. Listen, let's read a few scriptures. Open to Genesis chapter 41. The story I want to read here is a story we know very well. Pharaoh dreamt a dream. There was a problem. Who was going to interpret it? And let me say that to you again. Anytime there is a challenge in life, it's God's opportunity to distinguish somebody. Do you understand what I'm saying? Problems in life are the opportunities that God has given you to be distinguished. Listen, you know, we say, I am the head, I'm not the tail. You understand my point? Listen, it's not a matter of mouth. It's a matter of attitude in life. Please, are you getting the point I'm making? It's not a matter of what? Mouth. It's a matter of life's attitude, how you live life. There is what the Bible calls a double-minded man who does not receive anything from the hand of God. Do you know what that means? It means he says one thing, but he does another. I know why I'm saying this. When there are challenges, this is a heady attitude. You know, I'm the head, I'm not the tail. This is the head attitude. The head looks at what can we do about this, and we go out to do it. The tail looks and says, this country is terrible. Let me look for where there are no challenges so that I can go and eat there and settle down. Then on his way to that place, he says, I am the head and not the tail. God says, look at you. You are a very big tail. You are just, look at it. No, you know what tails are? You know what a tail is? That thing that a dog wags to and fro. So when life is throwing you up and down, what are you? You are a tail. No matter how much you shout, everybody put up your hands. I am the head. Maybe you come for a seminar like our own. I say, power words. I am the head. Say, I am the head. And once life is wagging you, you are a tail. You are getting the principle? When you are running up and down because of difficulty, you are a tail. When you are not willing to face anything in life, listen, what makes your success enduring? Listen, when David was going to be crowned king, God arranged three difficult situations, major situations to elevate him to prominence. One, the lion. Two, the bear. And last of all, Goliath. God said, I know this guy, he won't turn back. Goliath, that is, lion can't kill him. Bear won't kill him. Then those two experiences, I've used it to teach him not to run away from Goliath. After Goliath, Saul could throw all the javelins he wanted. David said, this throne is my own. I won't take it from you by force, but it's my own. Please, are you getting the principle I'm going to say? This is a heady attitude that I look at challenges and I face them. Do you get my point? Listen, the power that God has deposited inside his child does not ever become manifested until pressure is placed upon that person. Do you get what I'm saying? I said something during the seminar and I still mean it. Just David did not go around looking for the bear's trouble or the lion's trouble. It was the lion that came looking for David's trouble. And David said, you asked for it. That is, he started it, not me. Are you getting what I'm going to say? He started it. That is, the challenge was thrust upon him, yet the man responded. Listen to me. There is something that God has placed inside you, and only pressure can squeeze it out. You are following my point? Let's go on with what we are reading. So Pharaoh had a problem, and they now called Joseph. If you read from verse 15, he said to Joseph, I had a dream, but no one can interpret. And then if I might paraphrase verse 16, he said, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. I'm adding my own words. What he said is that it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Of course, through my mouth, me, Joseph. Then Pharaoh narrated the dream. Please, I'm not reading everything. We don't have all the time. Then when Pharaoh had narrated his dream, please listen to what Joseph now said. Joseph interpreted the dream. Now, I want to read from 33. After he had interpreted the dream, please, from 33, I want you to notice something. 33 was not part of the interpretation. Interpretation stopped in verse 33. 32. He said, now as for the repeating of the dream to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter is determined by God and God will quickly bring it about. That is the end of the interpretation. Verse 33 is counsel in the heart of a man. Are you getting what I'm saying? He now came up with that. He said, now let Pharaoh look for a man discerning and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge of the land, and let him exact a fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of abundance. Then let them gather up all the food of those good years and that are coming, and store up the grain for food in the cities under Pharaoh's authority, and let them guard it. Let the food become as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which will occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land will not perish during the famine. Now the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his servants. Then Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom is a divine spirit?" He says, so Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne I will be greater than you." Now, I want you to notice something here. When God was going to set this man up, what did he do? He first brought forth a problem. Are you getting my point? What brought that problem? We don't know for sure. But we know that that was God's handiwork, either as a result of anything that happened in the land. Now, his mercy was placed in the heart of Joseph for the people. Are you getting my point? That is, he now brought up a solution for the problems of the people. And that was what God used to bring him up to prominence. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That solution was in the heart of somebody. Every problem in life till today, the solution is in somebody's heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? That thing is what is called wisdom. We read from 2 Timothy chapter 3. It said there is what is called wisdom for salvation. Let's quickly read that one again. 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 14 says, "You, however, continuing the things you have learned and have become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred scripture writings or holy scriptures, which are able to give you this wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." One expression I want to bring out from there is that word wisdom that leads to salvation. Please listen to this. Salvation does not mean I now go to church. Are you getting my point? Salvation means that God has sent me deliverance from my problems. Do you understand my point? Now, when we're talking about salvation, what it means is that there is a problem in life that God has called somebody to solve. One day I was listening to Pat Robertson on TV. And someone asked him how he could make money and all that. Pat Robertson said, "You don't just go out in life to make money. You must be giving something to somebody. Then they will give you money back." Are you following my point? Everywhere that people gathered money without giving something to somebody, they are corrupt people. Let me say this again. The proper order for becoming wealthy in life is to give out to somebody. Jesus said, "Give and it shall be given unto you." There's a spiritual principle there, but there's also a natural principle there. Create Microsoft Windows and become the richest man in the world. That's just it's a principle. Make computers cheap for everybody to acquire one. Maybe your name is Michael Dell and you'll be a billionaire before you are 40. Are you getting my principle? It is the man that gives that becomes wealthy. There is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. Are you getting the point of this is I'm saying? That is, in life, there is always a challenge that God kept for you to solve. Do you understand my point? The Bible says that he has hidden sound wisdom for the upright. There was something we heard again on radio, I think it was last Monday, when I talked about, for those of you listening to it, I talked about sin. Now, there I was explaining something that what sin does to people. Now, sin is not like God is angry, God will judge you. No, God will catch you. That is not what sin is. You know what sin is? Sin is that thing that makes it impossible for you to tap into wisdom that will make you successful in life. Sin is the disease that kills spiritual sensitivity. It's not like if God is angry. Listen, a man, a woman who walks in iniquity cannot prosper. Not because God is angry, but because he will not be able to tap into wisdom that will give him creativity. Do you get my point? Listen, if Joseph had been sleeping with Mrs. Potiphar, do you understand what I'm saying? What will have happened to him is that when they give him dreams, he will not be able to interpret. Are you getting my point? A lot of people, especially in my dear beloved country, Nigeria, who have made money corruptly, it has prevented them from downloading serious substances onto the earth. They would have created companies, but somebody had baited them away with cheap government money. Listen, everybody that goes out looking for cheap money, pursuing contract, doing this one. And what happens is that the inherent ability that God placed in them to create something on this earth, they lose it. Are you getting my point? No, it is not as if God is angry with you. You see, for this, I'm going to show you, Pepe. I'll show you that I'm the God. I can punish sin. That's not the issue. The issue is that when the man is not walking uprightly, the wisdom that God had hidden for him, he can't tap into it. Please, are you following the point I'm making? Are you following the point I'm making? What will make you successful enduringly in life is that wisdom that God has put in your heart, which is called the wisdom for your salvation. That is, when Pharaoh has a problem, God will organize that they will send for you. If you have been walking uprightly, you will be able to interpret his dream. And after interpreting his dream, you will have counsel in the heart of the godly man that will bring a solution to Pharaoh's problem. And Pharaoh will say, be my prime minister. But if you have been walking in iniquity, if they bring you to come and interpret the dream, you will interpret it wrongly. And when you have interpreted it wrongly, you will say, oh God, I don't try. And they go. And Pharaoh will now get up and say, hey, now, let's even assume you interpreted it correctly. He said, what can we do? What can we do? Hey, let us pray. Let us pray. Let's sacrifice to the gods. Maybe they will not punish us like this. Joseph will have gone back, most likely, to prison. Or they will say, okay, for helping the Pharaoh, pardon, go back to your father's house. Let me say this to make your heart come home properly. There were many Josephs you never read about. Listen, in every generation, many are always called, and few are always chosen. You don't think it's only in our generation. It's in the days of Joseph. For every Joseph you saw that answered the call, there were many you never read about. Because God doesn't compile the stories of failures. What are you doing with stories of failures? So this Bible will show you all the people that failed in this life. And you to be kind and be reading. I told you before, look, one day I went to a bookshop and saw a book. They say childless but not less. I did that to the author, you know. How can I be writing that kind of book that a young married man like me should be reading, giving excuses for Satan? If you never heard me preach that thing before, that's what I call excuses for Satan. You start agreeing with Satan to keep you in bondage. He said, if you are childless, it doesn't mean you are less. I know, but I want to be childful. You get my point? Don't help me explain away my blessing. I don't want it. I don't read a story about failures. Thank you very much. I don't want. I want encouragement from the heart of God. You get my point? I want to be enlarged and lifted. I want to expect great things. Faith always expects something from the God hands of God. So God doesn't compile all those stories. A friend gave me a book once. I know, I saw it with a friend. Let me see the book that I can read. I saw how a man... No. I read the book. How the man died with his AIDS and he was dying rejoicing. I said, I better carry go. What kind of rubbish book is that? What if he died crying? What difference will he make? So he died rejoicing. Now get away, my friend. She now said, I know. You want to hear that he was healed? I said, yes, that's why I'm a Christian. You want me to be saying that? No, that's not what I mean. No, that's what I mean. No. That's what I mean. He said, you want to read that he was not healed at the end of the day? I said, yes. That's what is called the hope of salvation. What is wrong with you? When Jesus came, did he come to give them how to die smiling? What kind of rubbish is that one? When our iniquity has withered down the power of God in our lives, we start explaining it away. That's how the church started saying the age of miracles have passed. When they were, the ecumenism in them had removed all the powers they had. They started making excuses for the fact that there were no miracles in their midst again. Plague will come, kill Muslims, kill Hindus, kill Christians the same way. And they say, why? They say, it is in paradise we will enjoy only. You know, you are lying. Now, what am I going to explain? There were many people that God also called, and they never manifested the power of God, so you never read their stories. I'm not interested in reading the stories of failures. How much more God writing them? You are getting my point. Listen to me, child of God. What I'm talking about enduring success is that God has given you one wisdom for salvation. One wisdom that is not only for your salvation. Let me tell you something about this. We'll help you. Maybe when we go into that matter of walking in the Spirit, I will discuss this further. There is nothing that God wants to bring to this earth that's only for you. If anybody ever tells that use this principle to make you rich, the person is lying to you. Are you getting my point? The principles that really make you rich in life, God does not tell you to make you rich. What he does is that he will tell you how to bless people. And when your heart goes towards the blessing of other people, then you become wealthy in the process. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, there is a wisdom that God has placed in your heart. It will only be brought out in the time of pressure, in the time of difficulty. And usually not just your own difficulty, and maybe not even yours at all, but that of those who are around you. Do you get what I'm saying? That is the power of the Christian. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will no longer walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This is the gospel that Christians are supposed to preach. That look, you guys have these problems. God has placed in me a light. If you follow what I am saying, this problem will be solved. That was what Joseph told Pharaoh. He said, a problem is coming. If you do as I say, the problem will be solved. You know what we all do as Christians these days? We are looking for personal breakthrough. Once I was in church and one man was speaking. I've given that here a number of times as examples. The man said, hey, I'm prospering. Last week, I gave out my car. Now I have to. See, the world is working. I gave out this last week. Somebody now said that now they are going to make new furniture for my house. Hey, the world is working. I was looking at him. Like, if to say I get, you know, this horse whip, I will whip you from where I did. So you will jump down from that poopy, sharp. That is the gospel of unrighteousness. Only blessing you. What God preached to Abraham is that in you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. No testimonies I like. Last week I was in church on Wednesday. And one brother in church, he's doing consultancy work for Human Rights, the Human Rights Commission, which is actually a federal government agency. But you know the way it is? What they are doing is enlightening young people on how a policeman cannot treat you. Do you understand? He said, people say it won't work. Look at testimony. These are the kind of testimony I like to hear. He said, he showed them after he built 20 people without paying any policeman a dime. They started listening to him. Now, please, you get my point. He told me something. He said that I didn't start this today. He said 15 years ago, a general in Nigerian army resigned because he locked me up for 3 days. He said, when the guy said, lock that bagger up. He said, I told him, lock this bagger up. He's the last bagger you'll ever lock up. And listen, he was the last bagger that guy ever locked up. When he finished, there's this one. I said, sir, I will be praying for you. And I mean it. Utter words, say words to God, say words to the air about that man. Look, I was sharing something with my wife. I heard it from my pastor yesterday on radio, on tape. He said, when you are carrying the seed of God, you enter into the divine protection plan. That God knows what you are carrying is precious. So he guards you. When he said the scriptures started jumping into my head, he said, he suffered no man to do them wrong when they were going from place to place, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. The people that God said those things about, not those who have answered the altar call, I'm now a child of God. Those are not the things we are talking about. They are those who are bringing out the wisdom for the salvation of mankind from their hearts. God will ensure they never die. One of the men who invented, I don't know whether it's sock or sabin. Now, polio can be eradicated. The major reason why polio has not been eradicated in the world is because it's difficult to get, like now, the other day they wanted to vaccinate in Kano. People were refusing to take vaccines. Otherwise, polio can be eradicated. Now, the men who worked on polio vaccine, one of them, there are two of them, Salk and Sabin. I don't know which one exactly I'm talking about now. But there was a time, policemen were guarding him every day. Why? He was a scientist about to bring the cure to this deadly disease called polio. And the government realized that one stupid boy will go and kidnap him one day and be asking for ransom and mistakenly kill him in the process. So they started protecting him. If human beings can do that, how much more God? Do you understand my point? That is inside you dwell the wisdom for somebody's salvation. So giving testimony of now, I trust God for great things in my life. I know that absolutely. But what really blesses my heart? With this seminar last time, one young man said he came from Umuahia. I said, were you here the day before? He said, yes. Will you be around tomorrow? He said, yes. So you came from Umuahia to come and hear the word for 3 days. He didn't come for football. Man U is not playing Chelsea. Those are the testimonies I was sharing with my friends. Do you understand the point I'm making? You want your life. If you want enduring success, then make your dream that of your life counting in the lives of other people. Wake up in the morning and say, how can I be a blessing to other people? Listen, what God gives to you is what? Wisdom for salvation. The day you stop thinking about yourself first, you will never be poor again. Let me say it to you again. If you wake up in the morning and say, God is not just me, I must affect my generation. Listen to me, you will never be poor in this life, I'm telling you. God rewards his servants, not his sons. I have read my Bible very well. You know, I grew up in the Word of Faith movement where it said that we are sons of God, not servants. I found out that it was true, but God had never laid emphasis on being sons. His emphasis have always been on what? Servants. He said, I will spare them like a man spares his son that serves him. The difference between the prodigal son and the other son was that the other son was a serving son. He said, all these days I have served thee, neither did I transgress any of your commandments. And the father said, all that I have is yours. For a long time, I tried to explain away Isaiah chapter 54. That you see really, verse 17, that is not really, you know, it's because it was Old Testament, forget rubbish. It is the truth. Isaiah said, this is the heritage of the servants of God. I tried to reread it to mean heritage of the sons of God. He said, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. Every mouth that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. He said, this is the heritage of what? Servants of God. He never says the heritage of the sons. I found out. That is men who wake up and say, what is the wisdom for the salvation of other people that God has placed in my heart? Listen, God is bringing it out of you many ways. By challenges in life. That man I was talking about who is championing that human rights movement in this part of the country. He said a general locked him up. And he told the general, sir, if you lock me up, I will be the last bagger you will ever lock up. Listen, if you don't go through challenges, there's no strength built into you. They take your light, you are convulsing, as if your grandfather ever saw NEPA. Your car enter one small code. You say, in America, there's no pothole. There's no pothole. As if somebody went to heaven and brought the pothole and laid it down for them. The smooth road. Do you understand what I'm saying? You want to succeed enduringly in life? Tap into the wisdom for the salvation of somebody. And the day, you know, I preached a sermon some time ago. And you know, I think we have it here. Remember for this. The Bible said, there arose a Pharaoh that knew not Joseph. I said it was remarkable that a Pharaoh did not know Joseph. As small as the Bible is, it was written for a whole line that there was a Pharaoh that did not know Joseph. You don't get my point. That it was something to be eternally remembered that one man rose up not knowing Joseph. Now, for generations, pharaohs knew Joseph. Are you getting my point? One pharaoh will come, another will go, another will come, and they will know Joseph. Then one pharaoh came and said, well, what do you mean, Joseph? Joseph, so what? That is, it was remarkable that it was written. It was so striking that they said a pharaoh arose, he did not know Joseph. That is the wisdom for the salvation of Egypt. The man that brought it, you say you don't know him. Generations after, they are still cursing that Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. So the question is that why should he have known Joseph? Ask yourself every day, why would generations after be angry with a man who didn't know me? Listen, inside your heart is the wisdom for somebody's salvation. And that's the reason why you will be remembered. I hope you've learned something today. All right, let us pray then.